Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And it is my privilege to have Pastor Ken Spilger come up and give his testimony about what occurred to him in one day in 1980 and how God brought him through this. And we have him tell this story and his testimony not to brag about what a great guy he was and what a survivor he is, but to brag about the God that helped him through it every step of the way. And so, again, we have a desire to be an encouragement because we know that there are some people in here that suffer through pain. There are some people that may suffer through depression. There may be some people who suffer silently and don't know how to tell other people that they're hurting. But there's always a great God who's always available for you. And that same God can help you and loves you more than you know. And so, Pastor Ken Spilger, would you come up and be an encouragement and tell us what the Lord has done for you, sir?
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, thank you, Brother Bockhaus, for this opportunity, and thank you all for being here. I'm going to be somewhat disciplined because I could keep you for a couple hours, and I don't think that would be right. So I'm going to seek to be very somewhat disciplined in how I share this, the message tonight. And quite honestly, we could just close our Bibles up and go home. I can give it to you. If you would turn in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 8, I'm sorry, chapter 3, and for those of you that might not be familiar with the Bible, and I've been there, I got saved when I was 17, and so I'd have to look in the index and find the page number and all that kind of stuff. 1 Peter is back toward the end of the New Testament, just between Hebrews and Revelation. But 1 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 10, it's going to be our text. It says, "And he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Now that word, a phrase there, he that will love life, the force of that is, he that will choose to love life. In other words, I'm going to exercise my will. I'm going to choose to love life. And I want to encourage you tonight. The message is very simply this: choose life. Just choose life. And it's not going to be a pro-life message. You know what I'm saying? I thought you could get into that. I don't even think I am pro-life. But let me just say this. I want to encourage each one of you. If you're here and you might think, now I don't know exactly where I want to be in my life, but I want to choose life. Now we sang Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And what was the name of that song again? Sweetest name I know. Written by a man who was looking at the ashes of his wife and family. He chose to love life. And that's exactly where we need to be, isn't it? Choose life. And we sang the song, "Rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake." Written by a man who lost his eye because he had cancer behind it. And that, you think about that. He chose life. And that's what we all need to do. Now, we became familiar with that song, "Rejoice in the Lord," the night of the plane crash. I say my wife did. I was in the hospital. Our plane crashed. I had flown with three other pastors. in the St. Louis area to a conference, a pastor's conference in Kansas City. And we flew back home after the conference. A storm had come through the state of Missouri, a front, and we waited several hours in Kansas City before we left so it could pass through St. Louis. And so we flew back in on a Tuesday. We expected to be home probably around midnight. Now, I had a watch on when we were flying, and my watch was burned, and the hands were 12:30. So our plane crashed at about 12:30. And we had flown back without any event along the way. We were approaching the St. Louis Chesterfield Airport, a small airport, or Spirit of St. Louis Airport. They use different names with it. It's out West County, St. Louis County. We're flying over some bluffs by the Missouri River. It kind of comes up around, forms the north boundary of St. Louis County. In fact, we actually live a couple miles from the confluence of the Missouri River and the Mississippi River. But this would have been more out in western, where we live is North County. And we crashed. We hit a treetop, we hit a power line, and we crashed into the ground. And I mentioned this yesterday. I saw the pilot. I was sitting behind him, and the pastor sitting next to him were talking, and I hollered, "Is everything all right?" Because in a small plane like that, it's kind of noisy. And they both shook their head, yes. So I checked my seatbelt and sat back in the seat to get ready for the bounce. And then I had impressions. I went into shock. I don't remember consciously a number of things until they found me. I heard firefighters say, "He's over here." And I remember impression of a crash, just a loud noise. And the sheriff thinks that was when we hit the treetop, that precinct out there. And then a flash of lights, we hit a power line, and the fuel containers, fuel tanks had been busted open, and they got bursted into flames when the electricity, the sparks from all that. And then he thinks I fell out in my seat, because he said you could not have lived and ridden the plane to the ground. You couldn't have. Now, he asked me how I got out. I said, "God reached down and took me out." And so at any rate, then I remember just an impact that jarred my body. And that was just those kind of subconscious, just in my, you know, just impressions. Then I remember him saying, "He's over here." Now, before that, a number of things happened that I'd like to talk about in the message. And what I'd like to do is, and I'm going to do this or I'll forget, we have a video presentation we put together. It's about 4 minutes. Ron Hamilton is singing on the Rejoice in the Lord. And we have pictures that you can see. So I'll just get out of the way and I'll let you show that. And then we'll get back up here. And why don't we have prayer before we see this, okay? And we'll get with the message. Father, we commit ourselves to you tonight. Lord, Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh to the Father but by him, he said. And I just thank you for him. And Lord, we ask that we might see him tonight as he really is. And know and just see you, the awesome, glorious God that you are. And Lord, may we choose life. Now, use everything we're going to be doing here for your honor and your glory tonight. Draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God never moves without purpose or plan when trying his servant and molding a man. Give thanks to the Lord for your testimony. see through the shadows ahead. So I looked at the cross of my Savior instead. I bowed to the will of the Master that day. Then peace came and tears fled away. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. Now I can see testing comes from above. God strengthens His children and purges in love. My Father knows best, and I trust in His care. Through purging or fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, He makes no mistake. He knows at the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. I shall.
We had never heard that song before. I didn't even know there was a Ron Hamilton. But the day of the plane crash, word had gotten out that I had been in a plane crash and I was not expected to live. A friend of mine and his family were in Memphis and they got this message, and he was an associate pastor in a church there, and one of the men in the church had his own barber shop. He closed it down and said, I'm going to take you up and be with your friend today. So they came to St. Louis. And then on Interstate 55 going south, somebody killed a mob leader. His car blew up and they had the interstate shut down. So they couldn't go home. And so they ended up spending the night. They were in church. It was a Wednesday night. And the lady of the man that was in the church, the lady in their church, not my friend's wife, sang this in our church service. And because it became a great blessing to Beth. I didn't hear it till after I got out of the hospital a couple months later. But so God really knows how to work in those matters there. But getting back to this matter of choosing life, and that in here we talk about God's purpose for us is to receive His grace. If I could encourage everybody in here, if you want to choose life, receive God's grace. It's by God's grace that we're saved. Yes. It is by God's grace that we are sanctified. The same grace that brings salvation to every man, that has appeared to all men, is the same grace as it teaches us how to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Sure. Same grace. And then it's that same grace that we serve God with. Paul said, I've been made a servant by the grace of God which is given to me by the effectual working of His power. And so that grace of God, that influence of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times after I show this, I preach a message on that. I'm going to preach a message on choosing life tonight. Now, with this, back in 1 Peter chapter 3, he says in verse 10, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it." I would like to go through the passage, because everything I'm going to share with you, some of it gets very emotional. Some of it, it for me, it just literally captures me. And I may do that with you. And what I want you to understand tonight, okay, I come to this meeting, I come to hear this preacher. You saw the burns. These are very significant. They told my wife the night of the plane crash that I would not walk without a brace on my left leg. There was no muscle on my calf, on my left leg. Now, I've never had to wear a brace. I worked very, very, very hard in therapy. I was in the hospital 2 months. I was in therapy then for another 8 months. I worked 5 days a week on it. I didn't just work on therapy in the hospital. I worked on it at home. We had 2 children at the time. And my wife and those 2 older girls cheered me on. Our church cheered me on. They paid us while I was in the hospital. They paid us full salary, everything, while I was in therapy 5 days a week. And they said, "Work on your therapy." Because you only have whatever time. You know, everybody's different. But once those scar tissues are matured, that's it. The only difference then is surgery. That makes more scar and more therapy. Now, I had to have additional surgery on my left hand. And this, our book talks about this. But they had to, I worked the therapy hard on it. I wore the braces that they gave me, but the scar tissue was too strong. So they had to cut this and regraft it to where I have a reach on my left hand. And it's so awesome what God has done. And unless you've experienced this, you don't realize it. I'm in occupational therapy. A firefighter who had burned about a year before me, he was in therapy in the afternoon. He came, or in the morning, he came that afternoon. And he looks at me and he says, "Ken, you have more function in your left hand than I have in either one of my hands." And he had all his fingers and they all moved. I said, "How can that be?" His name was Roger. I said, "How can that be? I don't even have fingers." He just said, "You do." See, he only did therapy in therapy sessions. These hands bled every day. Every day. Now, you say, "Well, that's really noble." I knew we only had whatever time we had. And God just gave me grace. And I humbled myself to it. And I'm going to say, so you can apply this to everything in your life. Everything. And the point is this. We have to choose life. We have to just choose life. So those are some stories that they move me. Again, they grab me. I'd like to give you somewhat of a scriptural basis. So in 1 Peter, and you know, the whole Bible fits together. So it's not just like you pull one verse out and then make a message out of it. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you notice in verse 7, it says likewise. That's a verse, a couple of verses before 10. And then you go to verse 1 of chapter 3, it says likewise. So what we're looking at is, okay, what is this like then? Well, you go back up here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." So Jesus, in this context, we are submitting to God like Jesus did. See what I'm saying? We're to follow his steps. So he says now, wives, there in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Likewise, you wives, submit to your husband like Jesus did." Are you with me in this? Then he says, verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together, the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I'm going to be talking about husband-wife relationship, but it's based on what Jesus did, not just our own ideas here. And then it says in verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind. He said all because he means all of us. So be ye all of one mind, having, notice this, compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Do you know in our culture today, we don't know brotherly love. We just love each other. But that's what God said we're to do. And he says, be pitiful. And he says, be courteous. Now, these are words, and I don't have time to develop them, but we're looking at one mind, not having my own way. But serving others, having compassion one another, responding to their needs to heal their hurts, love as brethren, loving others to show my love of Christ. In other words, I'm going to show you how much I love Jesus by loving you. Amen. You see what I'm saying? And so then he goes on and he says here, be pitiful. This is demonstrating tenderness to others. We need that today. Everybody's hurting. Everybody has a burden. See, we need to be tender to one another. Be courteous, showing kindness to others. Now, I'm going to be focused on loving life, but here we're to love each other with godly communication. We're to love each other. Notice how it goes on in verse 9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. So we need to love each other with that godly communication. We need to love each other with godly forgiveness. Oh my. We're all going to be offended in our life. All of us are going to have hurts, including pastors and children. Everybody. But God says, number one, if you're going to choose life, choose to have my forgiveness. That means to be saved. Back whenever I was 17, I understood that I sinned against the holy God. I was going to church. I grew up in church, but they didn't teach the gospel. I was going to get good enough to go to God one day. But my sin got too much for me. And one day I realized I couldn't. And the Lord just spoke to me, why haven't you believed on Jesus? See, Jesus paid the price for our sin when he died on the cross. He didn't die to be a good example. He died because it was the only way that the holiness of God could be satisfied. There was no other way, and there is no other way. But all there is one way. Amen. And that way is a sure way through Jesus Christ. But we believe on him. I place my faith in him. So we forgive one another because we have been forgiven by the Father. Amen. See, we need to learn that, and we need to live that. We're free. I could tell you so many stories, but it takes so much time. But this is maybe the heart of the truth of what we're saying of choosing life. So many people waste their life because they're angry at somebody else. Notice what the next part of that verse says. You know, not railing, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, what's that next word? Anybody has it? Can you say it with me? Blessing. Learn how to give a blessing to people. Take the very people that maybe have hurt you and think, what can I say that's good about them? All I want to tell you, that's transforming. I again could tell you stories, but let me tell you one little bit here. My dad did not receive Christ as his Savior until he was 63. My dad had reason to be very bitter against people. Now, my last name is Spilger, and some in the Spilger family call it the Spilger curse. Because they fight over property. My dad was a farmer. and you fight over that land. Dad didn't. Now, Mom, he wasn't even a Christian. He didn't believe there was a God in heaven, but my mom was saved. And that influence of that Christian in our home, when I was born, this all happened before I was born. When I was born, I have a twin sister. When we were born, we grew up forgiving those people who cheated Dad out of what in our economy would be $100,000, $150,000. And we watched Dad forgive them. Every Christmas, we celebrated it together. And not only forgive, but bless them. Amen. Are you understand what I'm trying to say here tonight? Oh, when my dad received Jesus Christ, all that forgiveness became so much more real. In fact, I sat down with him. I said, I'd like you to tell me this, and I want to write the details down. Because I knew the impact, and so we did that. But that's just one. I could tell you more. But and what that has said to me is, when I've had bad things happen to me, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I don't know how I can even forgive these people. I'm thinking, my dad didn't even believe that you were God. There was a God. But he forgave those people. How could I not? And I want to encourage you tonight, choose life. Choose life. The only one that you hurt when you hold bitterness is you. It's like when you hold bitterness, again, we're talking about choosing life. Doesn't have anything to do with the plane crash. Except I want to tell you, every one of those widows chose life. They're not bitter against me. You saw it up there. Children lost their fathers. We're having a meal with one of the widows. She messaged us. Oh, I wish I could be in this meeting. She lives in Kansas City. She's 90. I said, I wish you could be there too. We're with her and her daughter. And her daughter's husband. We're eating at a restaurant, and her daughter is sitting next to my wife. And she looked at my wife. She said, would you mind if I touched Brother Spilger's hands? And I held him across the table, and Beth said, no, I don't mind. And she just in tears, she said, I want to touch the hands of the one that helped my dad. When that plane crashed, I was not in it. God spared me out of there. I went to help the other three men. Now, again, it had to be me. Because when the firefighters got there, they took pictures, and the other three men were laying with their heads propped up on a limb. And I laid them there. I hope I looked at her, and I said, I hope I didn't hurt him. She said, you didn't. Are you understand? She forgave. She didn't hold bitterness. So we're going to choose life. So we have to, in our communication, our forgiveness, and then our blessing, and then the passage that we've looked at here, choose life. And we're going to come back, choose God's best in each day, every day. Choose life. Folks, listen to me. We are only going to live today one time. Yes, and there are times when really bad things happen to us. And I'll look at Beth and I'll say, I'm going to live today. I'm only going to live today one time. And I don't want to live it this way. So we'll sit down and we'll say, okay, God, how am I going to forgive? And then how am I going to bless? One of the biggest things you can do, I say you, I mean all of us, is become thankful. Amen. Learn how to give thanks. Yes. The very thing that hurts the most, look at how can I be thankful. I can't imagine this. Brother Bradbury, I think, that wrote that song, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He wasn't sitting in a church pew singing that. He was digging in through ashes where his wife was burned. He learned how to become thankful. That didn't change Jesus. And this plane crash didn't change Jesus. It didn't change him for those widows. Well, when we're with them, they stand right up next to us. And I'm just saying, choose life. Yes. The communication. Choose to love life. We're going to come back to this in a minute. And then the last section there in this paragraph, you want to put it, section in Peter, verse 12, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Choose to love God. Just choose to love God. And he uses his eyes. God is watching over us. And his eyes, I believe, are speaking of his blessing. Seek his blessing. Lord, I only want your blessing. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. What are they going to think? Come on, say, God, what do you think about this? Are you going to be pleased? Help me with this, Lord. Is that making any sense to y'all? That helps me so much. I can't even tell you what it does. Man, I got hard decisions to make sometimes. And, okay, God, this will please you. I want to please you. And the eyes of the Lord are walking through this pews here tonight. It says in Chronicles, to look for those whose hearts are perfect that he can show himself strong in. And it doesn't mean you've been perfect as a person. It means that he is going to make his work perfect in you. Yes. And sometimes the weakest people are the people who can have his greatest blessing. And I'm so sorry I get emotional with this, but I do. You ought to see me preach on hell. I can't even preach on hell. I can't even read the Bible verses. The first time I preached after the plane crash, I said this, and I transcribed a transcript of the message, and I was reading through that. The plane crash and the burns that I had made a great impact on my life about hell. 30 years later, I'm getting a message ready on hell. I looked through my messages. I couldn't find one that I preached on hell. The Sunday before the plane crash, I gave a message on hell. And I thought to myself, well, must have been much of an impact. I haven't even preached on it for 30 years. So I got a message ready, sitting in the song service. And I couldn't even sing the songs. I got up to read the text. I almost had to have somebody come and read it for me. I guess, what do they call it, PTSD? It's probably what I have. I don't know. I can't imagine being in hell and never get away from it. There are no words to describe the pain. In the book, my father-in-law was there, and he said he was in so much pain, his bed trembled. I can't fathom that. He said, well, why did God make hell? He didn't make hell for people. He made it for the devil and his angels. He made the way that nobody would have to go there, and that's through Jesus Christ. When you were talking about that, I almost lost it. I can't imagine, even in that fire, that songwriter. See, these are real things. I guess you ought to get over it. I don't know. I've had preachers, they give a message on hell and get it recorded so you don't have to preach it anymore. People need to see a preacher preach on hell weeping. Well, it would be me. Why do I tell people about Jesus? I don't want them to go to hell. There's a sure way to get out. Now, getting back to this, the eyes of the Lord are looking all over not to send people to hell. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, God led you to be here tonight. Amen. So you could hear. Yes. Jesus saves. Yes. He is the way out. Will you receive him? You'll never experience the fires of hell ever. I gave the gospel before the HIPAA laws. The burn unit would have me come up and talk to people. And I gave the gospel to a man who had been burned in a garage fire. And his son was killed. See, these are just horrific things that happen. You understand what I'm saying? And I went in there, and he had a tent around him, and he couldn't talk because he had inhaled flames. But he could hear me. I gave him the gospel, and I asked him, "Do you understand?" He shook his head, yes. I said, "Would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior?" I told him how we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. I told him how Jesus paid the price for that sin. I told him how we could never do enough good to make ourselves come to the Lord. I told him that. I told him that you need to receive Christ, and told him how to believe on him. And I said, "Would you like to do that?" And I said, "No, you don't have to pray out loud, but would you like to just pray to the Lord and tell him that you're receiving Christ?" And shook his head, yes. He closed his eyes. And I said, "Did you receive Christ? Do you believe on him?" He said, shook his head, yes. Went back a week later, and he was, the tent was off of him. He could talk. I walked in the room, and he looked at me, and he said, "I've come as close to hell as I'll ever have to come." Hallelujah. Amen? But you see, the eyes of the Lord are not looking for people to send to hell. The eyes of the Lord are wondering how he can bless you. He's saying, "Will you choose life?" The ears of the Lord are open to your prayer. See, we pray according to his will. He listens. He'll hear us. And one of those prayers is, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." He's listening for that. That's why Jesus died, for you to receive him. And then it says here that his face, in verse 12 again, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So somebody's done evil, and they've done evil against you. This is a fallen world, but God is just. God is going to deal with that in the right way. You don't have to. You don't have to get revenge. Don't render evil for evil or railing for railing. Instead, give blessing. Let God take care of that. Yes. You see, you love the Lord. So I'm going to come back to choose life here. Choose to love life. And we have here this matter of we choose to love life. It says here, in verse 10, with our, you know, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking guile, with our words, what we say. We choose to love life we choose, let him eschew evil and do good with our actions. We give ourselves to the Lord. Once we're saved, we choose to love life. Let him seek peace and ensue it. You see, as we chase after it, we pursue after it. And in other words, we're earnest about choosing life. And I had to make some very serious decisions in my recovery. And really, when they pulled me, I went to get help. I didn't know where I was, so I walked off in a direction there at the crash site. The other three men were laying with their heads propped up on the limb. I went to get help. Ended up, we're on the bluff in the Missouri River above that. And I walked, just started walking. And I fell into a ravine about 30, 40 feet down. Landed on a ledge. They found me there. So they, and we have pictures of this in the book, they sent down a support type of stretcher that they put me on to, in case I had broken back and problems like that. And they hauled me up out of that. And they gave me oxygen in the ambulance. Probably, I mean, all of a sudden it's like, I could breathe. And I breathed and I thought to myself, I'm going to live. And then I remembered, while I was there in this ambulance, at that conference, when we ended the conference, they encouraged us to be praying a rededication of ourselves to the Lord. And they had a prayer, the man that led it, he led you and pray something like this. I just said, "Lord, I've done that hundreds of times." Man, I'd surrendered my life to the Lord right after I got saved. But I said this, "Lord, you know that I've made this commitment hundreds of times. I know something in my life is not right. I don't know what it is. So, Lord, I give myself to you to do whatever you have to do to make whatever is wrong right. He said, well, I'm never praying that prayer. I prayed that prayer before and flew back home, and I did not have a plane crash. Best prayer ever prayed. When you give yourself to the Lord, you take your hands off and say, God, whatever you want to do in my life.
Yes.
I laid there in that ambulance, and I thought, Lord, you're answering my prayer.
Amen.
Thank you. I didn't know what all was going to happen. I had no idea. So I had fingers on my hand. You saw the pictures. They were a little bit burnt. I mean, they were very burnt. There was no life in the ends of these fingers. I had to cut them off. I'd have got bad infections. It had killed me. And all the different things, I didn't know what I was going to go through. But all I want to tell you, I knew who I was going to go through it with.
Yes.
It was the Lord. He was never going to leave me nor forsake me. He was going to make all these things work out together for good because I was called according to His purpose. I'm saved. That's what that means. If you're saved, you're called according to His purpose. He said, and those that love me, well, I loved him. See, like he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, look, I can't keep his commandments without the power of the Holy Spirit. But I can give myself to the Lord, and he can give me the Holy Spirit. And you see what I'm saying? I can walk with the Lord. Oh, I want to tell you something. He did put it all together, and he's still doing it. It's not done. And so I'm thinking, I chose life earlier. I'm going to choose life today. Then during the time in the hospital, I had 3 skin grafts. Had one later, but 3 major ones. And they all took, and you have to get the book. There's stories in there about that. But my last one was on the back side of my body, and I had to lay on my stomach for a week, every second of the whole week. And on that Sunday, the surgery's on Monday, and then the whole week on that Sunday, I got so discouraged. Now, believe me, I was tempted to get discouraged many, many, many times. I couldn't overcome it. I was just so down. Now, our church prayed for me all night that night. Now, I'm going to tell you, Riverview Baptist Church, wherever you, all of us here, when somebody's down, don't kick them. That's when we get on our knees and we pray. They prayed for me. And God answered that prayer. He gave me grace. He'll give you grace. I'm telling you. But when you're down, and God helped me out of that. And the next day, Beth walked into the burn unit. And the nurses met her and said, you've got a new husband today. And it was all God. And he's saying, turn to the Lord in all this. Choose life. Choose life. Now, I'd like to close, and I'm not sure. I'd like to share with you a couple more thoughts. And I'm going to pull this away from me. But I'd like to, this moves me. A young man that grew up and lives out in West County, St. Louis, when he was 9 years old. His name is John O'Leary. When he was 9 years old, he had seen neighbor kids playing with fuel. And they would pour a little bit of fuel on the sidewalk, and then they'd throw a match on it and poof up. And it was in January, and he wanted to try that. He's in his garage. Mom and Dad were gone. And he couldn't get it to work. He's doing it in the garage. I mean, whoever thought about that being right, you know? So he thought, okay, well, I can't get it to work, so I'm going to light a piece of paper on fire, and then I'm going to pour gas on it. And he did. And it blew up. He ran into the house on fire. His older brother saw him and tried to put him out, fire out. When they got him to the hospital, same hospital I was in, called the parents. Parents went to the hospital. He was burnt like 100% of his body, 9 years old. For a child, 15% can be life-threatening. His mom and dad walked into the emergency room, or burn unit, I'm not sure, I think emergency room, And he said this, Mom comes right over to my side in the emergency room, takes my burned hand in hers, pats my bald, raw head, and says, hi, baby. A smile on her face. He said, I looked at my mom, tears that I didn't even realize I was holding back began falling down my cheeks. Mommy, am I going to die? He thought, I know it's bad. I want her to encourage me. She always does. She always kisses me and makes it better. And he said, I waited. And I waited. He said, my mom clasped my hand gently in hers, looked me in the eyes, gathered her thoughts and said, John, now I want you to hear this, because this is where you're at tonight, maybe. She said, John, do you want to die? It's your choice, not mine. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine how I'd respond to that. He said, I remember looking up to her and responding, I do not want to die. I want to live. She answered then, John, and you hear me on this, okay? John, you need to fight like you've never fought before. You need to put your hand in the hand of God. You need to walk with Him through this journey. Race forward with everything you have. Daddy and I'll be with you every step of the way, but John, you listen to me. You need to fight for it. We need to choose life, and we need to fight for it. If our life's worth living, let's fight for it. My dad told me, Ken, you have a big choice to make. That sounds almost harsh. But he said this to me as a 30-year-old man, married, 2 children. Ken, you have a big choice to make. You can lay there and you can feel sorry for yourself. Or you can get up and do something about it. That's amazing stuff, isn't it? So John chose to fight for it. That night, again, we're from St. Louis, Missouri, and the Cardinals are in St. Louis, and we have chosen to be Cardinals fans, so don't look down on us. We're not crazy about that. But back a number of years ago, one of the radio announcers for the Cardinals was Jack Buck. Anybody heard of Jack Buck? Jack Buck was a good announcer. He was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame as an announcer. But that day, in that January, he heard about John O'Leary. And he went up to the burn unit. He got permission from the parents and the doctor. He went in to see John O'Leary. And that night, after his mom had told him, fight for it, Jack Buck walked into his room and pulled up a chair over by John's bed. And he said, if you've heard Jack Buck, you can hear it. Hey, kid, are you awake? Kid, I said, are you awake? I mean, he's all wrapped up. Little holes for his eyes. And he moved his eyes. All right. Now listen to me. You're going to live. Hey, kid, did you hear me? You're going to live. Did you hear me? He moved his eyes. He couldn't handle it anymore. He went out, Jack Buck. He collapsed outside of the room with emotion. One of the nurses came over and said, are you going to be all right? He said to the nurse, is that kid going to live? And she said, "Sir, it's everybody has their time to go, and today is his time. I'm so sorry." And the nurse didn't know it, but John's dad was standing back away from there and heard all that. She said, "Oh, I'm so sorry you heard that." Well, Jack went back into the room. And he said, "Hey, kid, are you awake yet?" And he moved his eyes and he said, "Now, you're going to live. Did you hear that?" And he moved his eyes. He said, "When you get out of here, we're going to have a big day at the ballpark. We're going to call it John O'Leary Day. Did you hear me? John O'Leary Day." And he got better. Months of surgeries, and he got better. And they had John O'Leary Day. Now, I'm not that much of a fan. I don't remember all these details, but I'm sure they announced it on the radio. But this is what John O'Leary said. "I went to the ballpark in a wheelchair." See, his hands worse than mine. He just three stubs. They moved one of them around for a thumb, and so there's a thumb and two stubs on each hand. And so he said, "At the John O'Leary Day, you're going to be in the announcer's box with me. It's all on me." And they went in there. But Jack Buck said everybody had to feed him. Everybody had to hold the soda cup for him. Everybody had to do everything for him. And he said, "There's got to be more to life than this." And he said, Jack Buck said to himself, "What more can I do?" This is what he did. He sent a signed baseball by, I can't remember this when I want to, the guy that does the flips, he did the flips, Ozzie Smith, with a note: "Hey kid, when you send this man a thank you for this signed baseball, I'll send you another one." Well, John immediately said to his mom, "Hey, would you do this?" She said, "No, you're going to learn to do it. Mom, no, you're going to learn to do it." He could sit there and feel sorry for himself, or he could do it, right? He did it. Send him a thank you. Jack Buck sent him another one. He said, "Hey, kid, send a thank you to this man who signed this baseball, and I'll send you another one." He got 60 balls. But he learned how to do that. He graduated from college. He's had his own business. He chose to live. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you, listen, Jack Buck, when John O'Leary graduated from college, they invited him and his wife, Carol, to the party at their house. And Mrs. Buck took a gift over and said, "Jack, we can't be here tonight, but here's a gift." And there was a box and a card on it. "Hey, kid, this means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you." He sent John O'Leary the crystal ball and trophy that he got when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Now, I don't know about you all, I think that meant a lot to Jack Buck. He said, "I hope it means something to you." But Jack Buck, for years, said, "Lord," I don't know if he said "Lord." I'd like to think he was a Christian. I don't judge souls. But he kept asking himself, "What more can I do? What more can I do to help this one kid?" Now I want to ask you tonight, will you choose life? Now for some it might mean being saved. I'm going to choose life. I can't get good enough on my own to go to heaven. Well, God never intended anybody to get good enough to go to heaven on their own. Nobody. You see, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Will you humble yourself to God, receive his grace to save you? Will you do that tonight? Jesus paid the price for you. For Christians, I don't know what you've gone through. I wasn't burned 100%. It was 30% third degree, and there was others on me. That's terrible. But it's nothing compared to what John O'Leary went through. You understand what I'm saying? But I had to learn how to walk again. I had to learn how to use my hands again. I had to learn how to roll over in bed again. I had to learn how to live my life. But I want to tell you, back yonder in there, I chose life. And I'm going to encourage you, there is nothing that can happen to you that can keep you from choosing life. But it begins with salvation. Then once you're saved, just keep taking every step of the way. I got another story in here I could tell. One is by the widow of Jim Elliott, Elizabeth Elliott, in her 20s, later 20s. Her husband was killed. They'd been married, I think, what, 4 years, 3 years? Husband was killed reaching a warring tribe in Ecuador, South America. And she said how she made it was, I just took the next step. Just took the next step. I mentioned them yesterday. I mentioned Dr. Guyman, Kyle Guyman, missionary out of our church, passed away after being missionary for a number of years. His widow, I said, just take it a day at a time. She said, Pastor, I can only take it 15 minutes right now. Just 15 minutes. Take one step. Whatever that step takes, it's maybe a second. Just take that step. You say, well, that doesn't sound very strong. In our weakness, His strength is made perfect. Yes. Amen. Who's trying to show off how strong we are here tonight? I had a great fear leaving the burn unit. I couldn't get out of a chair by myself. I pastor a church, but I can't even stand up to preach. For months, I preached sitting down. You understand what I'm trying to say? I had a wife and two children. We had Christmas. I couldn't put their presents together. My hands wouldn't work that way at that time. It's scary sometimes living life, isn't it? Just take one step at a time as a Christian. And then, you know what? Even if you can't take that step, do what you can do at that moment. Amen. And God has promised He will be with you. And He will strengthen you in your weakness.
Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.